My guest at this time is Christopher C. Horner. He is a senior fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute, and he also served on the landing team at the Environmental Protection Agency for the Trump transition. He joins me now to talk about the EPA's decision, through its administrator, Scott Pruitt, to basically scrap what was known as the Clean Power Plan from the Obama administration that would have greatly cracked down on emissions from coal-fired power plants and other outlets that many critics believed was an all-out assault on the coal industry. And Chris, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Greg.
So this never actually got implemented. So what's the impact of it now being kicked to the curb?
Well, it formalizes, it extends the litigation, I suppose. But it's true the rule was never implemented. It's true that even the EPA administrator, who today is decrying, the former EPA administrator under Barack Obama, who is decrying the climate impact of this decision, had testified that there was no detectable climate impact from this rule. There's actually a consensus on this. So what the impact is we will start a rulemaking process. Today begins a repeal, a 60-day comment period to be followed by another request for comments about what to replace it with, if anything, given what EPA did under the Obama administration. That is, they also made a declaration that carbon dioxide, it's a marginal greenhouse gas, produced at the margins by man, not just through exhaling, but through combusting hydrocarbon energy, the stuff that works, the reliable, affordable, abundant stuff. And so the administration now has to determine whether that really does endanger human health and welfare, as proclaimed. So this sets in motion a whole suite of policy changes to undo what really was an entire edifice built up over years to impose an energy rationing agenda. And if you want to know specifically, remember this. Barack Obama, in his first two speeches before Congress, his first speech before the UN General Assembly, which I took as a sign that he was really serious, and in one other speech, he said that this agenda was to, quote, finally make renewable energy the profitable kind in America. Remember, his administrator testified no climate impact. His EPA administrator actually testified, well, this isn't about pollution control. This is an investment strategy. And he said in four speeches in the exact same very deliberate phrase, this is to finally make renewable energy profitable in America. That's what this was about. It was never about the climate. It was a vehicle to finally make a failed industry profitable. So this sets in motion a whole lot of lawsuits to undo what was done that was already the subject of a whole lot of lawsuits and an unprecedented Supreme Court stay, by the way.
And while he wanted renewable energy companies to be profitable, he also famously said, this is Obama now, in the 2008 campaign, that his energy plan would be to essentially bankrupt the coal industry. His quote was essentially that you could build it, but it's going to be so expensive for you to do it that you're going to go bankrupt. So how successful was he over 8 years?
He put a lot of people out of work, and some companies, a lot of communities were devastated. There's an inescapable connection between the opioid epidemic in that region and the devastation that was wrought by what was clearly a political, not an environmental agenda. Some companies did go bankrupt, but it was the workers and the communities who suffered. Now, employment in that industry is rebounding. I don't know that it will ever get to where it was before it faced the awesome power of the federal government in several states, several attorneys general and so on, to try to, as the president said, with the goal of bankrupting. He said it will necessarily bankrupt them. Necessarily was not, and again, this was a law lecturer. He was very deliberate in his phraseology. He was trying to wow the San Francisco Chronicle editorial board when he made this boast. That was the objective, and it had a lot of, in many cases, if you tour the area, heartbreaking impacts, some of which are being, I won't say remedied, but there's some recovery. It will never get back to where it was, I doubt, because you're talking about devastation to community. You just don't turnkey revival. So there was success. He thought he was punishing corporations. He harmed badly many communities and the people in them.
We're talking with Chris Horner of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. And Chris, I do want to give you the chance to follow up on what you were suggesting earlier about the different options that President Trump and Scott Pruitt have to either replace the rule or just remove it from the books and leave it at that. What are you encouraging them to do?
Well, the problem is that they did make this rather rigged, quote, endangerment finding. And so long, this rule will be repealed. And it was already stayed by the Supreme Court in an unprecedented fashion without even the circuit court hearing it, because the illegality was so transparent. It was so obvious. The harms were so imminent and irreparable and so on. They did stay the rule. You will have to replace it, because this doesn't need to go through Congress anymore. There's enough on the books that the courts will take this over. The UN is issuing reports calling on attorneys general and private parties to ask the courts to take over this policy now, including in the United States, to impose the Paris Treaty on us and so on, which this was actually to implement, despite the Senate never having ratified it. So we're asking EPA, take it to the logical conclusion, get to the root problem, and you have to rescind the endangerment finding. Revisit the science. A, we can demonstrate, and we have, how it was rigged. CEI, the Competitive Enterprise Institute, has filed a petition seeking rescinding of the endangerment finding. And also review the science. You know, an awful lot has happened in terms of observations, revelations, and technology to prove the models are wrong on which this was based. Remember, it wasn't about looking out the window. It was computer model projections of the future, which are rigged. I mean, they don't find that man's CO2 emissions cause climate change. They assume it in the model to reach their lured outcomes. So you could revisit this, and under what's called the several doctrines that also face revisiting, the agency would be granted the leeway to rescind this. So we say, pull it out root and branch. This is a very good start. And I have to say, most establishment Republicans would have shied from it and hoped for the best from the courts. We're asking that these people, now that they've shown that they're serious, fix the problem and undo the endangerment finding. And let's get back to the business of allowing energy sources to compete, not having a person say, I'm going to bankrupt you and finally make you profitable.
Chris, last question. As we mentioned at the outset, this hadn't actually been implemented yet. It was frozen by the courts. So it's hard to necessarily know what the financial impact would have been if this plan had gone into effect and renewable sources had gotten more of a share of the energy market. But the fact that this is being withdrawn now, what's the impact on our pocketbooks?
Well, remember, all of the costs that are being avoided were costs that would be passed through to you. And then, of course, there are the knock-on effects. When you devastate a community, it doesn't happen in a vacuum. And White House officials were saying on the phone today on background that they expect, and the EPA published this, I believe, $33 billion in, I forget the number of years, in avoided costs from not implementing this regulation. That was the subject of some discussion on the call, because people have much higher estimates of what this was going to cost. Let's just say we know it's a lot of money. It was significant enough that the president said this is the way to bankrupt an industry. He managed to bankrupt communities. This is to avoid more of that. All of these costs that they thought they were just directing at corporate barons they didn't like were aimed at you. All would be passed through, probably all, to the extent that the survivors survived in terms of the corporate entities. So you're talking about, this was designed to cause your electricity rates, according to the president, to necessarily skyrocket. So that won't happen. The direct job loss, the indirect job loss, and the seniors and the poor on low and fixed income who had to choose between heating and eating will now, we hope, not have to. That has fatal consequences, as we see in every country that's doing this. It was a cruel gesture. It was virtue signaling. And thank God the EPA has said we're going to formally repeal this rule, but now we have to get – let's fix the problem and make it more difficult for someone else to, like President Warren, to just come in and do this again.
Chris, we'll call time there, and we'll certainly keep following it. Thanks very much for your time today.
Thank you, Greg.
Christopher C. Horner is the senior fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. He also served on the Trump Transition Landing Team at the EPA. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.